Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Nancy Pearson. She's a public health sanitarian over at the health department. And Beth Essex, who's a bacteriologist. And you're also out of the health department?
Health department, working at the medical examiner's office.
Correct. Okay, yes. There is that commingling in some areas. I want to welcome you both to the show. And we want to talk specifically about what it is you guys do for a living, because it's a very important part of life on Long Island. People travel across the world to come to Long Island. And if it isn't for the work that you guys do, they wouldn't bother. And it is an economic portion of Long Island in terms of revenue, both, you know, keeping businesses open and keeping government open, right? And it's the jobs that you guys do. So we'll get very specifically into what those jobs are. So there's about just under 200 beaches in Suffolk County that you guys have to monitor, and you have to monitor to make sure that it is safe to go into the water, to be on the beach and to go into the water. I'm not going to be able to tell it as well as you. So, Nancy, why don't we start with you and talk about the aspect of you know, monitoring the beaches that you handle.
Sure. Thank you for having me. And, yeah, you're absolutely correct. There's about 190 locations that we sample for bacteria, specifically what we call Enterococcus bacteria. Yep. And throughout the summer months, about mid-May to mid-September, we sample all these beaches, some 2 to 3 times a week, some once a month. All depends on the level of presumed pollution and historical knowledge of the bathing areas. Right. So we go all the way from, say, Amityville, Huntington, all the way out to Montauk. And we're hitting the ground running around May 15th, like I said, and we've got about 5 full-time workers, including myself, and then we hire another additional 4 interns to help us out. And we test along with Beth's group there, and we get the results back, and then we have to run and make a decision on whether we, if something comes up, not.
How many parts per million, whether or not you
right, over the standard. Yeah. Then we make a decision whether we resample it, whether we close it right away, all based on the historical knowledge of these 190 places that we sample. So along with other duties and tasks.
Other duties as required.
We also inspect the beaches for permits and lifeguards, certain ones that qualify for that.
We're gonna talk about why, you know, maybe 5 people and 4 helpers is probably not enough. I've got a strong opinion on that. But before we do that, Beth, I just want to get into your side of things as a bacteriologist.
So we're responsible for the testing side of it. Nancy makes the plan and sends the troops out. The troops come and drop off at my office. And then my work wife, April DeVoe, and we just hired a new she was a former intern, Jillian Shelbourne. The three of us rally the troops with our one intern, and we collect the samples from the accessioning room, which is just the fancy name for the drop-off room. Right. And we have 6 hours from the time the beaches are collected to begin the analysis and get them into the incubators. And we are looking for very specific growth patterns for enterococci bacteria, which are found in the gut of warm-blooded animals.
Right. This is a biological concern. And the reason the time constraint is there is because you can plume or die off, and you
exactly.
want to know actuals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you want to know what it is when it comes out of the water. So it has to go on ice right away to slow down growth,
yep.
mm-hmm. Hopefully keep things from dying. And then we want our greedy little hands on them as fast as they can get them to us.
Yeah. Well, again, this is public health, right? And so people will talk about one of the, you know, the mandates of government, and that's federal all the way down to the smallest level of government, is the health and safety of its people. And we like to talk about public safety, public safety, public safety. We're very big on that. That's very true. But this is a health issue. And, you know, if it's, you know, health to me goes hand in hand with safety, right? And they talk, is another aspect of all, is they say, well, you know, law enforcement, and they're talking about a particular type of person, but AME members are law enforcement also. You guys are not just making up what you want to do. The law says mm-hmm. that things have to be a certain way. We have to protect the people that are, you know, living here, the people that are vacationing here, the people that are visiting. Like I said, you know, people can travel from around the world. You can see, I mean, Montauk is a prime example. You will see boats coming in from the other side of the globe
yeah.
to spend some time over there, and we want to make sure they're safe as well.
Yeah. Did you know they just shot the cover for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in Belport Bay?
I did not know that.
Ilona Maher, the rugby player from mm-hmm. the Olympics, she just released on her Instagram.
Did a phenomenal job. Yeah,
yeah, and yeah. they were at Belport Bay.
I didn't wow. know that.
Oh, yeah. yeah. I was shocked myself. Right. I'm like, hey, yeah. I do that beach.
Well, see, I mean, listen, we'll talk about Suffolk County in these terms as well. It's the 11th largest economy in terms of suburban in the country, right? This is a massive, so when we talk about government operations, we're talking billions of dollars. So, you know, last year's budget, I think, was $4.4 billion to keep all these programs going. And when we look at the amount of revenue the beaches bring in, it's well above that $4.4 billion. And yet we've got maybe a dozen people keeping from the beginning of the season all the way to the end of the season, keeping this thing going. You know, I think we need to really take a genuine look at what the budgets allow for. And we're going to be looking at this year. And we do have a commitment from the Kern County Executive, Ed Romaine, that he is going to put bodies in positions that are in the budget. We saw in years past 2,280 vacant funded positions in the budget. So taxpayers pay for your coworkers, but your coworkers don't exist. They're not there. They're not doing the job. I don't know how you guys have any time off during the season. And that's for me to say. I know you guys love the community. You love what it is you do. You love your coworkers. You want to do great things. That's what attracts sometimes it attracts people to a job in government. It isn't just, you know, having a certain degree of stability, pay and benefits and whatever else, but it's also that sense of, you know, helping the greater world around them. And that's great, but, you know, how was your summer, you know?
It was exhausting.
It was
absolutely exhausting.
So, and you guys exhaust yourselves so that people can have a nice summer. So, and hey, listen, that's my fight. That's my rant. I apologize. We just want to really talk about the importance of the roles that you guys have. And again, I came out of engineering in DPW, Public Works. And specifically sanitation, not garbage trucks, but sewage treatment plants. So having an understanding of the volatility of bacteria, what bacteria can do in water, how it can draw down oxygen levels, what effect that might have on marine life and specifically the health of human beings. This is all important stuff that we could probably talk on that level.
Yeah.
But I don't think most people listening are you know, thinking of things in that way. But the bottom line is this is about protecting the health of the public, and it is a mandate of government.
Right.
You guys, obviously, you work in collaboration with each other, and you've got to work in collaboration with other areas of government as well mm-hmm. To get things going. So how does that look when we get to a point where there's a beach, there's a location where a determination is made, hey, listen, this could be a risk, and we have to shut that down, and you guys have obviously, you've got this whole notification process,
yes.
and you've now got to dedicate extra resources because you want to know as soon as possible when you can get that beach opened back up again. But what does that look like?
Right. So when we get the results back and we say we have to close a beach, I have a list, and I send this out in the beginning of the year. Everybody updates it to all the municipalities, beach managers, HOA directors. So it's not just town beaches. It's state, county parks.
Sure.
It's like I said, homeowners associations, that kind of stuff. So I have all this list of contact information, and not only do we have an email that goes out to every one of them, we send out a press release through our representatives in the county. We also have a dedicated hotline phone number that I get to record my lovely voice on every day. And we also have a map, which is intergovernmental, which is run by New York State Health Department. So we are mandated to send them the results and not advertise, but post it onto their map as well, whether it's red flag, green flag, open flag. And then eventually they send the result at the end of the year to the EPA, so it's multi-level.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of moving parts here. A lot of people need to be notified. There's a lot of different jurisdictions, and we're holding the liability. When I say we, I mean AME members in this particular role are holding the liability. You know, Beth, you know, if you run a sample and you're like, I'm not sure, I need another sample, you know, maybe the timeline was or whatever, you know, and so, you know, something maybe has to get switched around schedule wise, you know, or then we get to the point where, okay, now we're solid on the numbers. We know we've got to, you know, hit pause on this location for people for a little bit until we can get it back open again. That becomes a priority, which means, you know, so, I mean, it's a big operation.
And we hate closing beaches. We don't want to do it, but we have to do it because
you're holding the liability.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you're holding the liability on behalf of the people, right?
Yep. So. And it puts a pit in our stomach when we see a big rainstorm coming because we know that we're going to have to close 62 or 63 beaches right off the bat without taking a sample. And then there's other times where things happen, emergencies happen, a spill someplace happens, a sewage plant goes offline.
Right.
And we get a notification, and then there's lots of phone calls and text messages, and, hey, if I can have somebody out there now, I can have them to you by 4 o'clock. Is that okay to bring a sample in? And as much as it causes us stress, we make it happen.
I think between the two of us, we've been doing this for over 20 years.
Right.
And we've seen a lot. We've seen the sewage spills and the random stuff and and the rain events, the hurricanes, that kind of.
We've seen things happen in Connecticut. Sewage treatment plants blow up in Connecticut and wash across the Sound. And in 5 days, we had to shut down beaches on the North Shore because this massive discharge was coming across the Sound.
Like a decade ago.
But we still find the remnants of that every once in a while.
Right. And you guys have to be aware of those currents, and you have to be aware of weather events in other areas. I mean, I remember years ago in Nassau, there was a plant that was taking on so much rainwater. It was a sewage treatment plant, and instead of taking on, you know, influent like it was supposed to, it was taking on rainwater as well, and they weren't able to process as much
Can't
as
what
was coming in, and you know they had their whole situation. But stuff like that has, you know, it's an impact in Suffolk County when it happens to the region, right? And so it could happen somewhere else and still impact us.
So we have to be incredibly flexible and understanding of one another's. Like our needs, there's times, a funny one is April DeVoe, her daughter and mine dance at the same dance studio.
Sure.
And weekend recital. We both have to be at the same place at the same time. That's almost an impossibility. And we have to start planning with Nancy months in advance.
Yeah.
So that we can both have off at the same time on the same day. And it causes stress. But we always get it done.
Yeah, hopefully with third person now.
Hopefully.
that's the bottom line. I think that's really where I get upset. You know, I love that you guys take your job as seriously as you do. And you responsibility. I can hear it in your voices. Like, you don't want to close beaches. You do want to be there every day. You want to take care of it. But I think you should have the support. And we're not talking about in a $4.4 billion budget. We're not even talking about a rounding error. Right. This is when you use the term de minimis, which, you know, maybe not everybody listening uses on a daily basis. But when you're talking about a very, very minute amount, small amount of money, that's what we're talking about, to have proper staffing here to allow folks to plan for a weekend, to be able to be responsive to these beaches, these homeowners associations, towns, state, county, whatever it may be, to be there for their needs, because their needs serve the economic needs of the region. We need the support, and it is a very small amount of money that's necessary to have some more support there. And again, this is something that we're going to push for in the budget. We're going to expect to see that there are more positions filled, and so that you guys can have some sort of a reasonable life. I mean, do you enjoy the summer? Probably took this job because you enjoyed the summer. You thought maybe, you know, day one, you're like, you know, it'll be nice. I'll be outside. I'll be around. I'll know what's going on at the beach or whatever. And the fact of the matter is probably not. So
we kind of go in September and October if we can.
Yeah.
So I get to go to the beach
sense,
all the time.
A little warmer, the water is maybe a little warmer than the contrast. But anyway, we've been talking about, you know, why beaches close. But to put a finer point on it, you're looking for specific type of bacteria that can be harmful to mammals. And I think we may mean a particular type of mammal. And if you guys would just expand on that a little bit, you know, why we close the beaches.
Okay. So technically, I'm looking for a bacteria that grows at 41 degrees, plus or minus 0.5 degrees. It's a gram-positive bacteria, which tells me about its cell wall.
Right.
And I use a really expensive, very specialized media that's like Jell-O for bacteria.
Right.
And I filter water through onto this membrane, put it on the media, and the bacteria, the enterococci, mm-hmm. is present. It grows a very characteristic blue halo on this filter paper that I use. Mm-hmm. And then I count the number of bacteria that grow for the volume that I filtered. So usually we do 25 mils because that gives us mathematically a good low end and a really good high end for our closure limits. Mm-hmm. And then I write it down. I put it into our laboratory information management system, and I send a CSV file over to Nancy. And then when it's really bad, I give her a call and say, hey, heads up. This whole run is awful.
Like
two weeks ago, I was sending her text messages. This is the worst batch of beaches I've seen in my 25 years here. It was awful.
I'm like, that's okay. Not surprised. It rained a lot.
It did rain a lot. Absolutely. That big storm that came through. They were, in 25 years, the worst 65, 70 beaches I'd ever collectively counted. And I was like, oh, and my work wife was on vacation.
Right.
So it was just me. The interns were out. Another one was
nine inches of rain
and and thousands of bacteria. thousands of bacteria on a plate. So I make the phone call to Nancy, I send her the data, and then she makes the determinations.
And then on that side, like I say, when we get the results to make a decision, the state has a EPA-approved method and approved standard that we have to look for. So the magic number I call it for enterococci would be 104. Anything greater than 104 cell counts is when we start making decisions. That's for marine waters. There's a different standard for fresh waters. But focusing on the marine waters, because they're most popular beaches and more beaches that we have, and when people go in the water, when the water's not so great, it happens. The worst, some of the symptoms you'll get, gastroenteritis, get some stomach issues, you could get a rash. And we always say people that are ears and nose, you could get infections there. And immunocompromised, young children are usually more susceptible because they're playing, they're not drinking, but they're gulping, they're splashing, they're getting it in their mouth. They're not washing their hands when they're eating, you know. And that's what we suggest to people. And we're talking about when it rains, we also suggest that when we do like those 63 advisories that you'll see, 63 beaches close, it's because we do a blanket advisory because of 20 years of being here, we know that when it rains over an inch, that beach is going to be high.
Right.
So we blanket, it's actually proactive that all these beaches are going to be closed. And that's because the rain runoff and the inch of rain that everything flows onto the road runoffs and stormwater drains and stuff like that out into the waters.
Yeah, all drains lead to the ocean.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's from Finding Nemo. All drains go to the ocean.
Listen, we're Long Island, right?
Yeah. We're on an island.
We got a sole source aquifer on sand.
So I have some
opinions on that.
So when it rains that much, we do tell people, or we advise people to wait 24 hours till it flushes out and has the two tidal cycles, and that's usually then we can reopen or lift that advisory.
Sure.
But not last week.
No, continued to rain.
That was a lot of
extended
rain.
And then a lot of the.
You say an inch, and now we're at 9 inches.
So we extended a lot of the advisories. A lot of the bottles samples that came back really high, so we had to close. For extended length of time until we got a clean result back. We kept resampling them. Like, these beaches are not clean.
And they were coming down, but they were so high to start, they just couldn't come down fast.
That was an unprecedented storm event. So it's usually an inch. It'll be an inch and a half, and it'll be a normal advisory. Open them up, get going. They seem to bounce back pretty quickly, but this was a different storm.
And we do 4,500 beach samples in the 16 weeks of summer. Sometimes it's around 4,000, sometimes it's closer to 5,000, but we know what these beaches are going to do.
Yeah.
We've seen it. We I see them in my sleep when I count them. I know the sand from the North Shore versus the sand from the South Shore.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, all right, so you know, I want to talk about some of that knowledge that you just get over time and you start learning things. We were alluding to it now, like, oh, okay, over an inch, we know these areas are going to have an issue. We've been talking a lot about the safety of all waterways and what sewage treatment means for that. There's going to be a ballot referendum this year talking about funding more sewers, using an eighth of a penny on sales tax side of things, going to help the revenue create a countywide sewer district. All of that's kind of technical. This is going to be kind of technical, too, and you know, I don't know how else to ask it, but do you think because of all the septic systems, we've learned a particular way what would happen, and then in the future, let's say 10 years in the future, we are now mostly sewers. Does that change what your expectations would be based on, you know, weather events?
That's a complex question.
Well,
by the way, I know I'm being a little nerdy here too,
no.
and some of this stuff can be exacerbated by
fresh waters, our lakes.
Yeah.
The septic tanks are
well, any failing septic tank
are awful for our fresh waters.
Yeah, and the failing septic tanks, regardless of whether the homes are now connected to sewers or not, definitely have an impact. With the local, the beaches, it's more localized. I see it a lot more with road runoff. And I know in other districts like the city or not Nassau and Suffolk, they have their stormwater also goes to the plants as combined sewage.
Mm-hmm.
That's got issues in itself because, God forbid, you get another rain event. The plant can't handle the rain runoff and the septic at the same time, so they just discharge everything.
Uh-huh.
So it's combined sewage overflow. So I think both of those things have to be addressed,
right.
You know, in order before we – you know, update a plant,
but
let's update it properly.
Yeah, new sewage infrastructure can only help.
Yes, definitely.
I think people would be shocked to know how many sewage treatment plants we actually have in Suffolk County.
Right.
There are many plants all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are tons of mini plants.
Yeah, mini plants.
And people don't, they're just unaware.
Not just Bergen Point.
Bergen Point or Stony Brook or Port Jeff, but there are mini plants all over the place.
Right.
So to increase their efficiency, it helps our groundwater.
Mm-hmm.
It helps our surface waters. It helps our fresh waters.
Yeah. We talk a lot about nitrates, and I wanted to talk a little bit more on that subject, make myself aware. And, you know, I'm sure our listeners are going to hear from me a bunch of times leading into that referendum, something that we believe in and something that we think that, you know, represents good governance and good government. Is doing something like this, and we wanted to talk about it in relation to that as well. So, you know, nitrates being an issue, but, you know, the biological in the waters, you know, any way we can help, if that's an aspect that helps, you know, having new treatment plants helps this whole situation, that's a good thing.
And nitrates are important to our surface waters, but also to the drinking waters. When they get down through that sand filter to the aquifer, they're not going anywhere except to the pumps and out of the tap.
I have my opinion, and I've said it a bunch of times already, but you know, despite the support that we think you should be seeing at work in terms of, you know, the amount of employees you have, and what would be reasonable in a season to be flexible and responsive for everybody in Suffolk County to keep these beaches open as often as possible, help the economy grow and whatever else. There's got to be something rewarding about this job when you talk about 20 years and being involved in whatever else. There's got to be some thing that keeps you coming back. And so, you know, I'm sure people would have some interest. You know, there's people that, you know, you hear a story like this and you say, well, why do that? You could go do something else. Why not go do something else? And obviously there's a lot of folks that are, you know, government employees that stay on and their reason is different than, you know, how overworked they are or, you know, the difficulty of, you know, so.
No, I truly enjoy the aspect and the environmental science behind it. I went to school for that. I went to I got a master's for that. And being able to work in the field that I actually studied is usually a rarity nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, people don't go to school and actually use their degree. I can't talk for everybody, but a lot of times that doesn't happen. And in the beginning, I was out in the field, and I absolutely loved it. I still get to go out in the field, which is pretty rare for an associate level or management level. But leading to the, we definitely could need more help. And I don't mind being in what I call the the back office, doing the scheduling and moving the pieces of the puzzle around and getting the interns and sanitarians out there. That doesn't bother me. I feel like that's like a growth, and I get to see the progress and the of the program, and still being able to go out in the field and go to the beach. And I say I get to go to the beach every day. I just can't stay long.
Five minutes.
Move on. Next one. So it's I do enjoy the work, and just definitely just want more help sometimes.
I agree. You wanna make it, and there is something to be said of saying, I love what it is I do, and even though my role maybe has changed a little bit, I get to make sure the program lives on.
Absolutely.
And I understand what it's like to be in the field, so I can make decisions from an office that helps the folks in the field because they knew what it was like.
Absolutely.
So, and then obviously you've got your eyes on I don't want to say a microscope, but you've got a
I like getting to, I'm helping people stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I come from a helping family. My dad was a career soldier. My mom was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and sister both went into the armed forces. My dad wouldn't let me go there, so I had to find another way to help. This is my way to help. I'm keeping my neighbors, my community safe. And I love it when I get to see my kids' friends' Instagram posts and they're out at Davis Park and they're in the water or they're... Mm-hmm. They're crabbing in Babylon or having a concert at Venetian Tanner, one of the parks that put on. I love getting to know that they can be there and I know they're safe.
Right.
I've helped them stay safe.
Yeah. And, again, that's what I reinforce all the time when I'm having conversations in my role with folks that are making financial decisions on, how to fund the government and how to keep government operations going. I remind them that, there are some lines of work, I'll use Wall Street as an example. Most people don't go into that line of work for anything other than I want to make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get rich in government, right? You should be able to live comfortably and have some degree of security. You don't want to qualify for government services while doing work for the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that conversation with several people, over the years. But the fact of the matter is that underlying altruism in a public employee. And I think, folks understand that, right? They get it on an individual basis, on an individual level. You don't really see it a lot in news articles. You don't really see it a lot as plot devices in like movies and TV shows and whatever. When they show a civil servant, it's meant to show bureaucracy. It's meant to be, uncaring. And the fact of the matter is, when you ask an individual like, "Hey, do you know your local crossing guard?" Yeah, they're great. You put a specific person that they've been dealing with, and they love it. And again, you guys are in a position to sometimes have to say something nobody wants to hear. Like, "Hey, the beach is closed," right? And who wants to hear that on a beautiful summer day? And yet, here I am, years and years on the job, and I love it. Why? Because I get to help people, right? Is there anything I missed here? Is there anything you guys want to talk about that I missed?
It's a really big team. Like this, it takes a lot of moving pieces to keep this machine rolling. And we, in the summertime, we're doing beaches, but we're also monitoring all the bays. People don't know we have boats and we have guys out on boats in the best weather and the worst weather. Sampling to make sure that our marine estuaries are healthy. We're looking for point source contamination. And this is just specifically with marine ecology and Nancy's group.
Right.
But they're looking at places of known point source contamination. They're out on boats in 30-degree weather.
All year round.
Yeah. All year round, pulling samples to monitor for TKNs and nitrates and ammonia and bacteria.
Chlorophyll,
brown tide. We have been blessed that... Mm-hmm. We haven't had a bad brown tide bloom, but we're looking for that all year round.
And a lot of that data goes towards studies, research. Different universities will ask, different FOIL requests will go out. So a lot of these are either contracted or grant-funded or Peconic Estuary Partnership is a perfect example. They contract with us to provide this data, and then they go out and they make a yearly state of the bays report, or how is our water quality. Dr. Goldberg over in Stony Brook University, same thing, he'll ask for our data, and we work with him, send him stuff, they send us stuff, and so it's a year-round, not just beaches, it's a year-round program.
And then all of that regular work is still happening when beaches happen. Beaches just go on top of the everything. Sunday. Everything else has to be, in addition. It's not a full stop and start beaches. It's all of our regular work, and I do drinking water. Sewage. In the back tea lab, we service all of the bureaus of water resources, I guess. So we're taking on more drinking water samples in the summer because more communities, transient communities, are opened up, like Fire Island, and so there's a bigger pull on the drinking water system. So we're doing more drinking waters, we're doing more sewages, we're doing more marines, typically, when we have the personnel, and then more beaches. So our sample load in the summertime goes from very busy to almost undoable.
And it's truly a team, because even with drinking water, we will give them a ride. And we'll be like, we're going to the same place. You want to hitch a ride? Oh, okay, great. You know, we drop them off. We get our sample. They get our sample. Hit back on the boat. Yeah. So it's a health department collaboration a lot of times, too.
And it's an efficiency, which people like to know. Like, hey, are we being wasteful with taxpayer resources? And the answer is no. As a matter of fact, when you go back to 1960 levels of employment versus the population and everything that needed to be done, and you look at today's numbers, the population, the number of people that need services is through the roof. The amount of people that are providing those services is way down. And we've got to get that all to make sense. But my guest this morning, Nancy Pearson, public health sanitarian over at the health department, and Beth Essex, who's a bacteriologist, also at the health department, but working out of the medical examiner's office for access to equipment and whatever else. I want to thank you both for joining us this morning. It's very informative to me. I hope I did a good job for those that are listening this morning in explaining what all of this means. But these are two of the folks of the very small team of people that have a big, complicated, year-long job of keeping, you know, waters safe, beaches open in the summer, making sure that our fresh water and our salt water is all, you know, accessible. Hopefully I said that correctly. And I want to thank you both for joining us, taking some time out of your busy schedule to meet us when you could be doing other things.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having
us. Thank you.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.